Just remain standing, if you will. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Appreciate the songs already by the congregation, the choir, and the specials. Amen. And a blessing there. Amen. That last song, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord?" When we're needing salvation, that's the only place you can go to get it. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter said that on that great day there as he's preaching. And a lot of times we quote that, we say, neither is there salvation in any other where, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. But Peter didn't say, that's the way you got to get saved. He said, that's the way we had to get saved. That's the only way anybody has to get saved. Amen. We must be saved through the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm glad that's right. But think about, not only where could I go to the Lord, but to the Lord for salvation. But in troubles and trials. For example, when my father-in-law had that pain in his heart and we didn't know what was happening, what was going to happen. Of course, we try to help him. We try to gather people around him. We did call 911. We was glad to see the first responders. We was glad to see the ambulance, all that kind of stuff. But we was calling on somebody a lot higher and more powerful. Amen. Than 911. And I'm glad we can go to the Lord with our troubles and our trials. We can go to the Lord for direction. We can go to the Lord for help. Amen. When you're stretching every dollar and you realize it still ain't going to reach where it needs to reach, you can go to the Lord and He can help. Amen. A lot of different things you can think about there that God can help. And here's my thing. I'm thinking about the power of prayer. I'm going to preach on that a little bit tonight. The power of prayer. But I'm going to preach on when prayer is powerless. Is what I want to think on tonight. Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 1. I used this message down at Brother Moise's in there. He called it a prayer revival. I'd never preached it before then, and I've never preached it since. I think Joshua and Brother Hall were there the night I preached it there in Tennessee. By the way, I don't know how close that shooting was to Brother Moise. It had to be pretty close. And so let's pray for them and their church and their safety as well. I don't know all the circumstances there. But I preached this message down there, and you're thinking all week there about the power of prayer, the privilege to pray, the great opportunities that we have to pray. And yet, many times, prayer is short-circuited because of sin. Look at what the Bible says, Isaiah 59, verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Help. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I appreciate that prayer as well. We have a lot to pray about here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. We touched on that a little bit this morning. A lot of needs. I mentioned about my father-in-law. That's very prominent in my mind. Think about that. I think about my wife driving back tomorrow to be there in North Carolina. Joshua and I wait until Tuesday going back. And then him having that surgery on Wednesday. I think about the fact of Brother Kuhn preaching on Wednesday. I want to be in prayer about that. Think about Mrs. Hall having a doctor's appointment on Tuesday. We need to pray about that. I think about sicknesses and problems. Brother Shelby, Miss Louise. I can just go on and go across the line. Miss Amanda fixing to have the child, and just, you know, keep working around. I talked to Brother Troy about his dad, how he was doing. And we got a great need for prayer. I am glad for the privilege to pray. I am glad that God has made as many promises about prayer. And I'm going to look at some of those this evening. But at the same time, we're wasting our time to tell all this to the ceiling. Take your troubles to the ceiling and leave them there. If it doesn't get any further than that, if there's something holding down our prayer life, we need to deal with that something and ask God to help us. So thinking about that, I'm looking at these verses, and I know it's a very familiar, very powerful scripture text, but God had told Isaiah, had revealed this truth to Isaiah, and Isaiah now is preaching it to these people. Two aspects about prayer. First of all, that God is all powerful. There is nothing our God cannot do. Amen. He can do anything. Job said He can do everything. Here's the way I'd say it. God can do anything. God can reach anywhere. Amen. God can save. God can hear. God can heal. God can do anything. Amen. But the fact is, not only that God's all powerful, but sin's pretty powerful too. And sin separates us from our God. Sin hinders prayer because it breaks fellowship between us and our God. It breaks communion between God and His children, the children and their father. It breaks that. So I want to preach on that this evening and think on it for just a few minutes, not very long. Two things. First of all, the dynamic power of supplication. The dynamic power of supplication. And then I'll move to talking about the damning power. Not condemning, but damming up, like damming up the river. The damning power of sin that stops the flow of God's blessings to His children. The dynamic power of supplication is found in verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. But preacher, this is 2017, and God's hand's still not shortened. God's not gotten old age. God's not gotten arthritis. Amen. God's not gotten hard of hearing. God's not gotten blinded. Amen. God is not hindered in any way as far as age is concerned or inability is concerned. God's hand is not shortened that He cannot save. Just as well as He saved thousands on the day of Pentecost, He can still save souls even in this dark day. Amen. I'm glad that He can. Just like He saved those folks in the upper room, God can save folks out in the gutter, out in the ditch, out in the alley, out in the beer joints, out in the dives, and on the church pew. God's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Thank God, God has power. He hears and answers prayer. If you want to run a power cord, for example, when we had the breaker trouble back there a few weeks ago and didn't know what was going on, we borrowed some power cords and pulled things around. And if you want to get power from one place to the other, you got to get that pointy little thing. It's got the three points in it. Not just up, you don't just show it the outlet. You don't just look at the outlet with it. You got to get it plugged in. Amen. I'm glad prayer allows us to plug in to God's power source. Amen. Amen. And we can talk about a lot of things about prayer. It's been proven again and again throughout the history of our world that God answers prayer. That prayer is a powerful tool. Amen. Men and women the world over can attest to the mighty power of God, the awesome power of God, the majestic power of God, the miraculous power of God through prayer. I've got some listed testimonies. I want to think about the testimony of the saints, and then we'll look at the testimony of the scriptures. And I've got some selected ones. I pulled these off of the computer, and I'll just read. I don't quote a lot of people a lot of times, and sometimes when I quote people, I don't tell you who I'm quoting because I don't necessarily agree with the person I'm quoting, but the quote's good. Amen. Amen. Even Dan Rather can say something good every now and then. You remember when he said, "I'm through. I'm retiring." That's pretty good. Pretty good. Amen. The testimony of the saints. I think about A.B. Simpson said this. He said, prayer is the link that connects us to God. Amen. Alexis Carrel was a French surgeon and biologist in the 18 and early 1900s. He said, prayer is a force as real as terrestrial gravity. As a physician, I've seen men lifted out of sickness by the power of prayer. It is the only power in the world that overcomes the laws of nature. That's what that doctor said, Alexis Carrel. Amen. Watchman Nee, the early 1900s, a Chinese church leader, Christian teacher, said this. He said, our prayers lay the track down on which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, His power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails. That's pretty good. He said, prayer's like the rails that the train runs on. Amen. Train's got all that power, but it needs those rails in order to get to us. Amen. And that's how prayer is. God's got all the power, but His answers come to prayer that's been given. Amen. G.H. King, Guy King, said this. He said, no one is a firmer believer in the power of prayer than the devil. Not that he practices it, but he suffers from it. Amen. The devil knows prayer works. That's why he wants to stop you from getting in the prayer closet. Amen. That's why he wants to hinder you, why he wants to send everything he can to your mind to hinder your prayers. When Job, in the book of Job, when the sons of God presented themselves before God, the devil was there.
Right.
Amen. The book of, I believe it's either Zechariah or Zephaniah, I get the two confused. I believe it's Zechariah, when the sons of God presented themselves before God in there, the devil was there again. Railing on the high priest, Joshua the high priest, and the spotted garments that he had on. The point I'm making is this. I believe that when we go to pray, the devil goes to battle to hinder us from praying. Amen. You know why? Because he knows the power of prayer. William Cowper, 1731 to 1800, English poet, friend of John Newton, wrote the famous lines that you hear quoted a lot of times. God moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. That's from the pen of William Cowper. Amen. He also wrote that great song, there is a fountain filled with blood.
Amen.
Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. But here's what he said about prayer. He said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees. Amen. There's power in prayer. That's the point I'm trying to make. An unknown writer said this, said, if the church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. I say amen right there. Amen. I wish you would. William Law said this, he who has learned to pray has learned the greatest secret to a holy and a happy life. Amen. Samuel Chadwick said, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. I say amen. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. He believed in the power of prayer. E.M. Bounds said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer. Men mighty in prayer. Amen. W.S. Boyd said this. I like this quote. He said, prayer is weakness leaning on omnipotence. Amen. Prayer is weakness leaning on omnipotence. Amen. Samuel Chadwick said this. This is a lengthy quote, so bear with me. Samuel Chadwick said this. There is no power like that of prevailing prayer. Of Abraham pleading for Sodom. Jacob wrestling in the stillness of the night. Moses standing in the breach. Hannah intoxicated with sorrow. David heartbroken with remorse and grief. Jesus in sweat of blood. Add to this list from the records of the church your personal observation and experience, and always there is the cost of passion under blood. Such prayer prevails. Listen now. It turns ordinary mortals into men of power. It brings power. It brings fire. It brings rain. It brings life. It brings God. I say amen, Samuel Chadwick. Prayer can do what nothing else can do. Amen. That's one reason why we ought to saturate our life in prayer. We ought to saturate our services in prayer. Just because we organize a service, we say we're going to meet at 6:30 on Sunday evening, and we expect God to move just because we set the date and the time. That's not how it works. Amen. I believe we need to saturate these things in prayer. A couple of quotes from A.T. Pearson. I'll move away from these testimony of the saints. A.T. Pearson said, "There has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer." Never been a revival, he said, anywhere. Didn't begin somewhere in united prayer. Again, he said, the Word of God represents all the possibilities of God as being at the disposal of prayer. All God's power is just waiting for the asking. You have not, is what James said, because you ask not.
That's right.
Amen. All the great power of prayer, men of God down through the ages have remarked and commented on the fact of the power of God and the power of prayer. The power of prayer to do the impossible. What men say cannot be done, God can do it. Amen. And God does do it again and again, many times, through the prayer of His saints. God's able to not only do the impossible, He's able to move the unmovable, amen. He's able to change those things we think can never be changed. God's able to do that through prayer. And I say this, God has not changed. He's still just as able today as He's ever been. Amen. So you got the testimony of the saints, then you have the testimony of the Scriptures. Turn to James chapter 5. I mentioned what James said about you have not because you ask not. The book of James is filled with words about prayer. James chapter number 5. And I'm going to begin reading verse 13. You know these verses. I'm sure you do in this text. Read down through the chapter. He says, "Is any among you afflicted?" If you got a problem, anybody got a problem, he said. Here's his answer. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, Elijah was just a normal man. Just an ordinary man. But he prayed. Amen. And Elias was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Amen. Amen. I'm simply saying that James is saying, if you got a problem, pray. If your prayers are not getting through, ask somebody else to pray for you. And pray with you. That's what he's saying. Call for the elders of the church. Get somebody you have confidence in. Get somebody that's had experience in prayer. Somebody that has seen God do great and mighty things. If you're having a problem, pray. Amen. If you're having a problem with praying, get somebody else to pray. James said, the answer to our troubles is prayer. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3. You don't have to turn because you know it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And here's what he said that's so amazing. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Prayer, according to the Scripture, is not a little thing. It's not just a little water in a cup. It's a whole lake of water or an ocean of water. It is all you need. Whatever you need can be found in prayer. Amen. Isaiah 38:5 says, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. You remember that story? Hezekiah had been told he's going to die. Isaiah was sent by God to Hezekiah to put his house in order. For thou shalt die and not live. Had a sickness, whatever the sickness was. Had a sickness, the man of God came and said, cheer up, Hezekiah, you're dying. He said, really? He didn't have him good words. Well, I'll pray for you, you do better. No, he said, you're not going to get better. You're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. Hezekiah wept sore. Hezekiah prayed and called on God. And before Isaiah got out of the courtyard, God said, go tell him, I've heard his prayer. Yeah. Amen. Now, that's the power of prayer. And the scriptures are filled with instance after instance of that great and mighty power of prayer. Amen. God added to him 15 years. You remember our Lord in Matthew 17 had that situation where a young man had a devil. His daddy brought him to the disciples and the disciples couldn't help him. Jesus helped him. He cast the devil out. When the disciples asked him, what was the reason why we couldn't cast that out? Here's what our Lord said in verse 21 of Matthew 7. Howbeit this kind goeth not forth, goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Amen. Sometimes prayer needs to be tacked to fasting. Fasting just means you're serious about it. You're more serious about this need than you are about your next meal. That's what it's saying. This is serious business to me, Lord. It means something mighty to me. It's not that fasting gives us supernatural power. It's in obedience to God in showing our faith in what God has said. Fasting and prayer. But the Lord said there's some things not going to happen just by prayer. You have to pray and fast to get some of these things done. That's what he said. But you think about this. If some things not done by prayer, it takes prayer and fasting. I wonder if anything gets done if we don't even pray. Amen. Acts 12 verse 5, the Bible tells us about Peter being in prison. And the Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You remember the rest of that story? How that God opened those prison doors? Before man ever invented the electric eye, God had an electric eye on those doors. They opened of their own accord, the Bible said. Amen. And the angel woke Peter up and got him out of prison. Amen. How did that happen? Power of prayer. Power of prayer. Matthew chapter 6. Turn there if you will. I'll let you look at it. Matthew chapter 6. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord had much to say about prayer in this Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. Point I want to make there, not just the instruction. He did say, when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray, but when thou prayest. He expects us to be praying people. Amen. Amen. Just like it's important when that baby is born, that baby gets out and the doctor gives him a good swat on the backside. Amen. You know why? It's not because that baby's been bad, although they have been. They've been kicking mama, elbowing mama, giving her all kinds of trouble, fits. Amen. Miss Amanda can say amen to that, I'm sure. Amen. It's not just that. It's not just that they get you up in the middle of the night and they're going to do that. They pop them on the backside to get their lungs to working. Because that baby needs strong lungs. That baby needs to be able to breathe. Amen. When a child of God is born, that child of God needs to learn to pray if he's going to survive. We're in a dangerous world. Amen. Needs to learn to pray. Our Lord said, when you pray, you better be praying. But he said it's a private thing. It's not something you boast of. It's not something you brag about. It's not something you just do so you can mark it on the card and get a reward, get an attaboy for praying. No, it's something between you and your God. It's serious business between you and your God. But here's the promise that our Lord said. When you're in secret and nobody else knows, somebody knows. When you're in secret and nobody else sees, the one that matters sees. Amen. His arm is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He's listening to the prayer of his saints. Matthew 7, verse 7. We're right there. Look at it. Verse 7 and verse 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Amen. Our Lord said, there's power in prayer, just waiting on you to ask. There's power in prayer, just waiting on you to seek it. There's answers to prayer, just waiting on you to knock. Amen. God said, our Lord said, there's power in prayer. John 14:14 said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Amen. 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. I'm simply saying there is power in prayer. Amen. I remember that day, I quoted the scripture there in the Psalms, when this poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I remember the Psalm that says that I waited patiently on the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard, what did He hear? My cry. Waiting on God is crying out to God. Amen. And He's able to hear us and delivers. There's scores of verses. I go through the Bible, we could fan our Bible, and almost on every page, we could find something about the power of prayer, the potential of prayer, the power of God that is found and tapped into only by prayer. There's power in prayer. There's dynamic power in supplication. Isn't it sad that so often we forget to pray? Isn't it sad that so often we're frail? Whether or not we're forgetful, we're frail about praying. I'll do that later. I need to call. I need to text. I need to update my status. I need to let others know before we've ever even talked to God about it. So often we fail in this thing of prayer. But here's where I'm dealing with this evening. Not just when we fail in prayer, but when prayer fails because we failed. We take the time to pray, but we don't get through. Why? Because there's something between us and our God. All right, so there's the dynamic prayer power of supplication. Then there's the damning power of sin. Verse number 2 of Isaiah 59 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. God's not going to look on sin. When we live in sin, I see people all the time, they're living in sin. Maybe they're drinking alcohol. You talk to them about the Lord and they say, but preacher, I pray every day. What good does it do to pray when God's not looking your way because you're living in sin? Shacked up? I mean, you name whatever you want to name. They're living in sin. They're living in things they know to be wrong in the sight of God. And yet they say, but preacher, I pray. But God doesn't hear those prayers. When iniquity and sin have separated between us and our God. We've taken sins like bricks and we've stacked them up and built a wall between us and our God. That's what He's saying here. God's not going to listen. It's not that He can't, it's that He will not listen to those prayers because of our sin. Why? Because He wants us to deal with it. Mamas, they know that instinctively. Little kid comes in, they got dirt all over them. They've been out playing in the yard. That's what they used to do before they invented video games. Out playing in the yard, got dirt all over them. They come in and they want a cookie. Mama don't say, yeah, take this cookie in your dirty hand and put it in your dirty mouth. No, they say, you go wash your dirty hands, wash your dirty face, and they may say, you got to eat something good for you before I give you, eat this carrot, then I'll give you a cookie. Whatever the case is. But here's what I'm saying. God's not in the business of allowing us to come in with dirty hands, with dirt covering us, and us ask God for blessings. We can forget it. God's going to say, you're going to have to clean up. Amen. You're going to have to deal with that dirt. You're going to have to deal with that stuff before I can give you the blessing that I'd love to give you. Amen. The damning power of sin. That's the scary part of this equation. Amen. You think about the mighty power we hold in our hand. If I could say hold it in our hand. The power that is at our disposal. Just to get a hold of God. And yet, we let sin come between us and that power. We let sin separate us from our God. We allow sin to break the connection. We allow sin to break the fellowship. We allow sin to interrupt the communion and the communication that we have with our Heavenly Father. We stopped the flow of the blessings of God because we've let sin dam up the stream. Turn to Psalm. If you're in Isaiah, you won't have to go back far. Psalm 66, a very familiar, I'm sure, verse of the psalmist. And I'll say as you're turning, our God is a holy God. Amen. Our God's not a punk rocker. Our God's not a deviant from this world. Our God is a holy God. Yep. He's a holy God. He is too holy to overlook sin. He's too holy to allow sin in His presence. And that's why the psalmist said, Psalm 66, verse number 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The psalmist said, there's a God in heaven. I've got access to that God in heaven through prayer. But if I let sin in my life, that word regard has the idea, you ever hear people say, give them my regards. They're saying, give them my affection. Let them know they're in my thoughts. Let them know I hold them in esteem. When you let sin get your affection, when you let sin get your thoughts, when you hold sin in high regard, God said, don't try to talk to me. I'm not listening. That's what He's saying. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15, just several pages over, but the next book, Proverbs 15, there's two verses I want you to notice. Again, talking about prayer and sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse number 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. He's talking about people trying to be religious, and they're wicked, they're bringing a sacrifice. I mean, look at this great thing I've just done. God said, that's an abomination to me because of your sin. Amen. Proverbs 15, verse number 29, the Lord is far from the wicked. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Again, he said, prayer is a good thing, gets us in touch with God, but wickedness moves God out of the picture. Amen. Proverbs 28 and verse number 9. Proverbs 28, verse number 9. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. I want you to notice that. I want you to look at it. Proverbs 28, verse number 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. He said, if you're not listening to the preaching, if you're not listening to the Bible, if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit when He's speaking to you from the Word of God, God said, even your prayer stinks in my nostrils. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, you don't have to turn. If you want to, you can. You don't have to. Matthew chapter 6. Dealing with that Sermon on the Mount. Again, talking about prayer. Here, our Lord says this in what's known as the model prayer. Our Lord says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know what He said? He said, you can pray. Pray. You ought to pray. But He said, if you're not doing right by your neighbor, God's not going to hear you. If you want something from God, you're going to have to do right by those you live around. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, still in that Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord said this, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. He said, if you've got a problem, deal with the problem before you even come to try to pray. Amen. Deal with the problem. I'm just simply saying, prayer has a damming effect. It clogs up the flow. Amen. It dams up the stream of the blessings of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Peter's talking to husbands here. We like the first part of the chapter, it deals with wives. But chapter 3, verse 7, he starts dealing with the husbands. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. So he's talking about the wives. Husbands, dwell with them, the wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of God. Look here why he said, that your prayers be not hindered. You know what he said? He said, if you're not right at home, you're not right at the altar. If you're not right between you and your wife, you're not getting through to God. God's not hearing your prayers. That's why he said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. And I believe he's talking about that husband-wife relationship. Amen. Don't allow problems to build and you just say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to record this in my book. I'm going to put this in my bookcase and I ain't never forgetting it. You're never getting through to God again either. Like you could if you deal with that. Amen. Last place, Joshua chapter 7, if you want to turn over there. You remember the situation that children of Israel had gone up against Jericho. They had marched around the walls of Jericho. One time a day for 6 days. Seventh day they marched 7 times around the walls with their mouths shut, not saying a word. And when God said shout, God told Joshua to let them know, and they said shout. The people shouted and the walls came tumbling down. Great victory. God gave them the victory. And they were to give God the spoils. Next little while, they go to Ai, a little bitty town. Nothing. Nothing in comparison to Jericho. Nothing even in comparison to the little army of Israel. They said, we'll take it, no problem. But they go up to Ai and they get whooped. Amen. They get whooped. They flee before the enemy. They run back and Joshua calls on God. Look at chapter 7. And verse number 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust on their heads. Here's a man serious about getting a hold of God. Here's a man that sees a problem. He knows something's got to be done. And it's not just him. It's these other men as well. They fall down. I mean, physically they're drained. Emotionally they're drained. Spiritually they're pleading with God. They put dust on their head showing their utter contempt. Calling on God. Look at verse number 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? God said, Joshua, now's not praying time. There's a time to pray. But right now's not praying time, Joshua. Now's time to deal with problems. Look what he said, get thee up. Let me get back to it. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. You remember what had happened? Achan, one of the men of Israel, had seen a Babylonish garment, a wedge of gold and a wedge of silver, and he took it for himself. It was to all be offered unto God. It's all to be God's. But Achan decided, I just want a little bit. Just a little. I'm sure he thought it was just a small thing. But it cost Israel the victory. And it cost men their lives. Later is going to cost Achan and his entire family their lives as well. But God said to Joshua, prayer's a good thing. Prayer's an honorable thing. Don't you know it pleases God for His children to pray? But God said to Joshua, now's not praying time. Get up, Joshua. I wonder if there's times we go to our closet. I wonder if there's times trouble comes our way and we say, Lord, I need help. And God says, get up. Get up. Now's not time to pray. Now's time to confess. Now's time to clean up. Now's time to deal with the issue between you and me. Amen. God's hand's not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities have separated. Amen. Iniquity is the problem. Sin is the problem. God said to Joshua, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Can I just say this? Sin hinders prayer. Sin affects our relationship with God. If we're going to tap into that wonderful power of prayer, we're going to have to deal with our sin. We're going to have to come clean with God. Amen. We're going to have to get these things out of our life if we're going to get help from God. Now let me close this with some introspection. I want you to just ask yourself these questions. I wrote these down. Is there something in my life that I'm holding on to that God has dealt with me about, but I'm not giving it up? Is there something? How is my prayer life? Do I have a clear line between me and heaven? Or has sin gotten in and blocked the line? Amen. I remember reading a book years ago by E.J. McDaniels, an evangelist. E.J. McDaniels preaching on prayer. And in that sermon he told, back in the day when there wasn't cell phones, there wasn't cordless phones, everything was run by a line, and it was a party line. You remember that, those days? I remember them. And I'm not that old. Some of you think I am. I'm not all that old. I do remember those times. But he told about this case where this person and a cold storm, winter storm had come in, and freezing rain, and this person was trying to call to find out how their family was. And he kept calling, but no answer. Kept calling, but no answer. Kept calling, but no answer. Finally, days later, they found out that everything was all right. They was able to get out and get about and found out that everything was all right. And he asked the question. He said, I called and called and called, but you never answered. And here's what they said on the other line, other end. They said, our phone never rung. Our phone never rang. You know what the culprit was, they found out later? An owl had frozen on a tree limb and had fell over and short-circuited the phone line. A frozen, dead owl was stopping their communication. I'm telling you, there's a lot of times sin in our life that's not worth even as much as a frozen, dead owl fall over on our prayer line and hinder our prayers getting to heaven. Oh, we call, but it don't ring in heaven. Amen. Is there something that's blocking our prayer line? I ask myself this, and I'm doing it for myself. You do it with yourself. Do I hold grudges? Do I need to forgive somebody? Do I need to ask for forgiveness? How is my attitude towards my spouse? How's my attitude towards my co-workers, my children, my fellow church members? How's my attitude? What about those things you look at on the TV or on the computer or on your phone? What about those things you read? What about the music you listen to? What about the magazines? What about the clothing you wear? I just ask all these questions. Is God pleased with that? Or is that something that is like a dead owl blocking the communication line? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. They're coming with a song. I want to ask you, is there something that you need to deal with, you need to come clean with God about, that might clear the pathway of prayer, that might reestablish the communication lines between you and God? Oh, we need to pray more than we ever have. But when we pray, do we get through? And if you don't think you need to pray now, you say, I can hang on this a little bit longer. I really don't need God right at the moment. Friend, there's going to come a time you're going to need Him, and you're going to need Him quick, and you're going to need Him bad. And you better have a clear line so you can get through to God. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for the power of prayer. Dynamic power. Great power. Wonderful power. majestic, miraculous, wonder-working power in prayer. I thank You for it. Lord, forgive us for our failure to pray. Forgive us for our fainting in prayer. Forgive us for our feeble little prayers. Forgive us for our failures that has our line blocked. That although we're calling, it's not ringing on Your end. Because prayer has separated. Sin has separated us between us and our God. And prayer can't get through. Father, forgive us. Help us, Lord, to do this inspection of our own life. What about pride? What about jealousy? What about envy? Lord, help us to get those things out of our life that we can have a clear line between us and Thee. Move, dear God, to the invitation time, I pray, and have Your way. You can still save sinners as well as saints coming clean with God. Have Your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, obey the Lord.
534.
534. As we sing, do you need to come?